Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta, host of Repurposed. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast.
Everything has felt very out of reach at times in my life, and to be in a situation right now where that's not the case, and I am being able to do something that I find success in, well, that's a dream come true.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, of intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. If you want more information, just go to our website, teachesfinancial.com. Well, raise your hand if you are a fan of Fixer Upper on HGTV with Chip and Joanna Gaines. Go ahead, raise your hands. I'm raising my hand right now. I love that show. My family and I have watched that for many years now. Well, I've got Clint Harp on Repurpose this week. Clint is one of the characters on the show. He's the owner of Harp Design Co. He's a furniture builder, and pretty much every show, Joanna needs something special done for one of their projects, and they go to Clint Harp to build a table or something like that. A big reason I wanted Clint on the show, number one, I'm a huge fan of the show, but number two, he's got a phenomenal backstory. If you've ever heard his story, he left a six-figure corporate job, totally cold turkey, to become a woodworker, but he really didn't know anything about woodworking at that time, and he self-taught himself on YouTube and started his company, which you now see on HGTV. We have a really cool heart-to-heart talk in this episode. We get deep into his story of leaving his job and what he and his wife experienced through the rocky transition leading up to Fixer Upper. And then we talk a little bit about how he crossed paths originally with Chip and Joanna Gaines. Here's part one of my chat with Clint Harp. All right, I've got Clint Harp on the line. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the podcast today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, first
really
of all,
appreciate it.
First of all, thank you. I'm dead serious from me personally. Thank you for being part of a family-friendly show. I kid you not, Fixer Upper is one of my favorite shows of my kids. My kids are 6, 4, and 3. You have 3 kids as well. And it's just awesome to be able to watch a show with family values. It is such an anomaly. So first of all, thank you for being a part of a show like that.
Well, you know what? We're all thankful that we even get to do it, that we get to do something that represents who we are as people and as families and as a company and everything. And we have heard from people of all shapes, sizes, races, ages, everything you can imagine, you know, that they just love watching it because it's just a show they can leave on and have in the background, and it's encouraging and makes them laugh. And man, across the board, if I can do that for anybody in the world, that's an amazing thing to be a part of. So I'm glad you like it, man. Thank you so much for the encouragement, and we're excited to be able to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to talk a lot about Fixer Upper. So much to talk about. I want to talk about your relationship with Chip and Joanna. I want to talk about purpose,
sure,
and faith, and I have a ton of viewer questions. By the way, my audience showed up big time for questions. They got a lot of questions, so we'll get to all of this. But first, I want to talk
cool.
I want to talk about what you got going on now. You got a new show, Woodwork, coming up on DIY. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so throughout the process of doing Fixer Upper, that kind of thrust me out there to where people could notice and see what I'm doing and what I bring to the table, if you will. And, you know, the network reached out and said, hey, we think that there's enough here to do maybe a little something more. And so we started out shooting like some small little bits as kind of like tryout pieces to see where this would go. And over what ended up being a pretty lengthy process, we ended up getting our own show, and they called and said, hey, you know, so we're going to do it. We want to do a show with you guys on the DIY network and just kind of highlight what you guys do over there at Harp Design Co. And so, yeah, I would say it's a dream come true, but, you know, none of this was ever a part of my original dream of building furniture. It was never I was going to build furniture on TV. So
yeah.
It is a dream come true, but it's like a dream that I didn't necessarily have.
Are you living the dream right now? I mean, you get to work with, you know, it looks like your wife and your kids are involved with this new show a little bit more, maybe more so than Fixer Upper. I mean, this has got to be a dream come true, literally, for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. There's no question. And it, like with any job, with anything that you do, there is going to be stress. There is going to be things that give you, you know, cold sores on your mouth. Like I've got one right now. We just started filming this week, and I started with a nice, beautiful cold sore on my upper lip, you know. And anything you do, it's going to bring you stress and whatnot. My thing is, at the end of the day, do that thing that even though you're going to have that stress, you still want to do it.
Yeah.
And so, we are living life to the fullest that we possibly can right now. And it comes with its ups and it comes with its downs. And at the end of the day, I'm just so thankful that we're in the position that we're in. I've been in way worse positions in my life and in places where I thought, I would never make it and anywhere in any way, shape or form. And by make it, I mean, just be successful, do something that means something to me. And everything has felt very out of reach at times in my life. And to be in a situation right now where that's not the case, and I am being able to do something that I find success in, well, that's a dream come true.
That's awesome. Let's talk about that. Talk about life before Fixer Upper. You met your wife in college and UB Grand, living the dream. I am fascinated with people that have 2-week stories, 2-week type stories in their life where they just like totally drop everything and go on a total tangent. I'm fascinated with those stories, and you've got one.
Yeah.
Take us back to that as you and your wife were first married and you were entering corporate America with probably very, quote unquote successful lives and careers.
Yeah, so the kind of the fast forward version is we married, like I said, 16 years ago, and from there we moved to Florida, and I had a job there working in a ministry out there, and I was the area director for a deal, kind of like a youth outreach sort of thing, and lost my job within the first 7 months of being out there in Florida, and actually lived out there for a few months before Kelly came. So Kelly came out in like August of 2001, and then I ended up losing my job like October is when they gave me my notice. And it was just a deal where they were kind of moving on in a different direction, and I mean, it was fine. There was nothing like necessarily wrong or bad, or it was just a like, we're changing directions, and it was like, okay. And so there I am. I've moved out to Florida with my wife, and we've only been married for a few months, and I don't have a job. And so from there, I became a janitor at a church, and I was cleaning toilets, man, 5 o'clock in the morning, waking up and getting over there and scrubbing toilets and water fountains and doing all the other stuff that is, it's not the most fun work in the world, but thank God for the work that those people do every day, because it's not easy and someone's got to do it. And I'm thankful for every single one of them that do it, because just doing it for a few months, boy, you realize how hard it is.
Yep.
But as you can imagine, with a degree in business from Baylor University, which is where I met Kelly as a senior in college, I didn't plan on using that to just settle into a life of janitorial services. That probably is, it's like, okay, I've got a big loan to pay off here. I can't do that forever. So from there I became a junior high youth minister at the same church that I was a janitor at. And I always joke with people that it's basically like the same job.
It's just cleaning up after.
It's just cleaning up after people, and just smelly, and junior high kids, they stink all the time. I did that for a while, and then my wife and I had a chance to move to. Well, actually, after that, I started doing like some kind of handyman work, like caulking and installing toilets and tiling and painting and things like that. Then my wife and I had a chance to move to Europe to be a part of a church plant thing out there. And so we moved back to Dallas from Florida. We raised support. I worked part time at a job out in Dallas, and Kelly had a part time job. And then we finally raised enough money and we moved over to Europe, and we lived in the Netherlands for about 3 months.
Huh.
And did that for a while. We interned, and then after interning, we moved to Paris, France for a year. And we lived in Paris for a year and quickly ran out of money. And so after doing that, which was a really cool journey in and of itself, but hard at the same time, we moved back to Dallas and started life kind of outside of, for the first time in a while, sort of like a ministerial kind of like life, you know. Weren't in ministry per se. It was like, okay, I think that chapter in our life is done. Yeah. Let's move on to other things. And so I got a job back at the job that I was working at in Dallas before we moved to Europe. I was working at part-time. Well, I went back to that same place and got a full-time job there. And I did that for about 4 years, and or maybe 3 years. And then at that point, we decided to start talking about having kids. And the job I was working at, it was like a part-time, or I mean, excuse me, an hourly, you know, job. I got paid hourly. I didn't have any benefits. I worked for great people, but there were no like benefits. It really wasn't what I call like a big boy job, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started looking for that. I called a friend who was in the medical industry, and he, had a job opening for me, but it was, there were two things about it that I never wanted. One, it was in sales, and two, it was in Houston. And, I never wanted to move to Houston. And I didn't want to do sales. But it was six figures. So, I said, you know, let's do it. And so we packed up at that point. We had our first kid, and we, packed up the house and moved down to Houston and started a 4-year career down there in medical sales. And that's when the story kind of started to get crazy. And I, met a guy as he kind of became like my, kind of mentor. And talked with him 2 years in, living in Houston. I was miserable. I worked for a great company, great people, but I just wasn't happy. I wasn't doing what I really felt like I was supposed to be doing. Although I was making six figures easily, I was just miserable. And
well, what was it about it? Because there's people out there listening right now who don't really like the job they're in, and they're miserable.
Yeah.
You know, what was it for you specifically where you were just like, it's great money, but fill in the blank. What was that for you?
I think, yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I do believe that more people than not, if not all of us, at some point in our life, we've had like this longing inside of our heart to do something, and it most of the times doesn't make any sense, you know? And maybe sometimes it comes and goes. It's there, and then it's gone, and then you kind of find a little bit of fulfillment in what you're doing, and so you sort of ignore it. But then things just kind of always go back to this place of like, you know, all right, now I'm 25, now I'm 30, now I'm 35. Like, you know, and you start to see things down the road. You're like, man, pretty soon I'm going to be 40, and then 40, you know, and then I'm going to be 55 years old before I know it, you know, and you kind of start freaking out. And but you start to realize, like, you know, I only have one life to live. And, you know, as far as we know, this is it. As far as life on planet Earth, this is the shot you've got, as far as we know. And you know what I mean? And so it's like, at what point do you just go,
enough.
I can just keep on doing, enough is enough. I can keep on doing what I'm doing and just kind of doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing, if you will. Yeah. Or I can finally just go, you know what? This is crazy. I'm never going to know unless I try, but I'm going to try. And that's basically what we did finally after 4 years of living in Houston, was just, you know, what kept coming back to me. And I talked to my mentor about this all the time, is that I wanted to build furniture. And it didn't make any sense in my mind how I was going to make money. But my mentor kept saying, that's not your job to worry about. What your job is to worry about is, what are you supposed to do?
Where did that out? Where did that come from? Was that, when did that start? You know what I mean? Because was that long before you ever got into this job, where you had this inkling? Because I've read bits and pieces of your story. You really weren't you weren't an experienced carpenter or woodworker at that time. Where did that passion begin to like seep up into you? Can you put a time frame on that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, that goes back to my grandfather. And being around him, he was a very skilled craftsman, home builder, and he built colonial style houses and was really, really good at what he did. And I was always kind of around him on construction sites and kind of seeing what he did. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I you know, as I am old enough now to kind of look at my family and and, you know, my parents and grandparents and everything, it's like we can trace ourselves back to certain things. And I can look back and go, okay, my granddad, my mom's dad, Werner Martin, that's where I inherited all my genes and ability to build furniture. Like, it clearly came from him. And, you know, just things aligned in a certain way to where he kind of became a very important figure in my life and someone that I looked up to. He bought me my first work boots. He, you know, he taught me how to, you know, mow the grass and do all these different things. And that was kind of where it started. And but what's funny, though, Jared, is that, like, I don't even know that woodworking is necessarily what he passed down to me. I mean, he did, but the big thing that I really got from my granddad is, like, this, like, kind of figure it out sort of mentality of, like, and kind of feeling like there isn't anything I can't do. Because my granddad was not, it's not like he didn't apprentice under, like, a colonial builder forever. My granddad went up to Virginia. He took a camera, probably a Polaroid, and, you know, he took, you know, like, well, actually, it was probably before Polaroid, so, but, I mean, you know, it wasn't anything, like, spectacular was what I'm saying, you know, it was just a simple camera, and he took a notepad and a pencil and measuring tape, and he just went up and he just, like, examined these, like, houses that people were building and just measured exactly what they were doing and tried to talk to as many people as he could to kind of figure out how did they do it, you know? And then he just went back to Georgia where he lived and where I'm from and then did it, you know? And that's the same way with me. People always ask, like, well, how'd you build furniture? And I'm like, well, you know, who taught you? Well, I mean, it's going to sound crazy, but I literally just went into my garage and figured it out. And, you know, in my head, it's like, well, I know that this fits together like this. So if you just make that, then you could probably fit it together, right? Like, and it's just sort of like putting those things together and taking a look at a table and going, okay, well, this is how this is made. So now just do it. And that's the same kind of spirit that my granddad went up into the Northeast with, was just like, all right, I want to figure out how these guys made these houses. And then I want to come back down here to Georgia and do it. That's kind of where it came from.
Do you think that that is what gave you the boldness to quit your job? I would have to assume a lot of people thought you were crazy, and you can answer that question, but is that what gave you and your wife the boldness and confidence to go ahead and do what you did?
You know, I mean, I think, yeah, sure, that's part of it. I think also part of it is just being crazy. Also part of it is, you know, being paired up with an amazing partner. I think that's so important in life. For all of us to find that person who we're supposed to be connected to. And for me, it was Kelly, you know, and you know, it looks different for everybody, but, you know, for me, you know, Kelly and I, it was just the right thing. And it is the right thing. And she has that crazy hair in her as well, you know, that it's like she wants an adventure, you know? And so that was a big part of it too, and I'm linked up with somebody in life who wants more out of life, or not more, but the most, you should say, you know, it's like you just want to get the most out of life while you have it. And I think that was a big part of it as well. But the other part was just, you know, we grew up like many young people in the South. There's a lot of great things that I could tell you about how I was brought up and the churches that I was a part of and stuff like that. But there's also things I could tell you that, you know, that aren't necessarily from any one specific church or one specific pastor or minister or anything like that. But there are things that we learn and we're surrounded by, like how you treat your money or how you, you know, live your life. You know, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to do this, whether it's on purpose or not. What sort of passed down to generations, at least to our generation, was like, you know, you go to college, you get a job, you know, the husband pays the bills, you know, you're the breadwinner and all this stuff. And it's kind of like the Matrix, you know, like at some point you decide maybe this isn't right. Maybe there's something more and you start to kind of want to take that pill, you know, and kind of break out of it a little bit and go, I don't ever want to be bankrupt, but should I let the fear of bankruptcy keep me from pursuing my dream?
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
I don't want to have bad credit. I don't want to rack up a bunch of credit card debt. I don't want to not pay my bills or default on my student loans or have my car repossessed or foreclose on my house. I mean, these are all things, Jared, that I can literally rattle off, like, one after the other, all of those financial pitfalls that, you know, we're all taught, like, you can never do that. And it's like you got the scarlet letter on your chest if you, you know, do anything like that. And please hear me. I am not here to encourage anybody to go out and do anything stupid financially.
I laugh because I've literally said that on other podcasts when we're talking about this subject. I'm like, probably 99% of you should not quit your job today. But what we're saying is, you know, let's think about this in a big light perspective. And that's what you did. And that's what makes your story so fascinating. You know what I mean? And a lot of people have asked me online. They're like, ask Clint how he overcame that fear. I'll ask you, how did you overcome that fear to do it?
You know, I don't know that I ever overcame the fear, but I just decided to dive right into it.
No.
I just decided, you know, my kids are reading Harry Potter right now, and not to give away the ending. So if you're reading those, first of all, you're behind. second of all, but no, the ending of Harry Potter, you know, when he, and this is a theme in a lot of, you know, different movies, but like, he had to just walk out into this forest and meet this person, like his ultimate enemy, who he knew was going to kill him. You know, he knew that was going to happen, but he, like, ultimately that's what he had to do. And then he went through that process, but then Harry came back after that even better and was like new Harry Potter, you know? And so all of that to say, what I realized, and through the help of my mentor, is that it's really not about overcoming the fear or escaping the fear or getting around it. It's really like you got to walk straight into the fear and know that it's probably going to tear you up, but you're going to make it through and you're going to be stronger on the other side. And you're going to go, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Like, I'm okay. I made it through. And again, I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and quit their jobs. This was a long process, you know, years of struggling and thinking through stuff. And we did save up a little bit of money, not a lot. It was enough to last us about 4 to 6 months. So it's not like we had like this huge bank of reserves, but, you know, we did some things like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, we did. I quit my job and I went for it, and there was no real answers as to how anything was going to work. But, you know, obviously I'm so glad we did.
You did it. You started Harp Design Company. You later bump into Chip and Joanna Gaines. Tell that story briefly. I know it's not a brief story, but briefly tell our audience how you and Chip and Joanna Gaines met.
Sure. So we had lived here in Waco for a couple months, and my wife had gotten a chance to get her master's degree. And that's why we moved to Waco, by the way, from Houston, is because she got a full ride to Baylor to get a master's degree. And so we moved here to Waco. I volunteered with Habitat for Humanity, and because I didn't have a shop at the time.
And so
we went to dinner at some friends' house, and they said, what are you going to do eventually, Clint? I said, well, I'd like to build furniture, but I'll need a shop. And the husband said, hey, I used to work for this guy. He kind of knows a lot of people in town. You should give him a call. His name's Chip. And so I said, okay, well, he gave me Chip's number. I gave this guy Chip a call, and I left him a message. It was kind of a stupid message. It didn't really make sense, probably too much information. And hung up, and 2 months, 3 months later, he'd never called back. And, you know, this guy didn't know me from Adam's house cat, as my mom would say.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't blame him for not calling me back. And now knowing who he is and how busy he is, I really don't blame him.
But this is, this is before Fixer Upper, by the way.
Absolutely.
Okay,
Yeah. And that's, by the way, that's the thing that's so wonderful about Fixer Upper, is that before that show rolled around, before a single camera turned on,
right,
Chip and Joe were busting their humps in Waco for years, I think like a decade.
Yeah.
You know, flipping houses and figuring out how to do all that stuff. I mean, hard, hard work.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this first half of my conversation with Clint Hart from HGTV's Fixer Upper. Make sure you tune in next week for part two as we talk more about life and his experience on Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, go to our website, TagesFinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit MyFaithRadio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.